Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Welcome.
All right.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Living Savior Church. Good to have you today. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord.
I almost forgot. Shop brought this to us. It's called AbolishAbortionTexas.com. It's to stop abortion in Texas. They've got a new, it's a new bill. It's HB, you know, abortion's murder. So the bill is HB, excuse me, 948. It's support the House bill. It's the Abolition of Abortion in Texas Act. So that's what they're trying to do. So to help with this, if you will go sign the petition is, and you'll need to write this down or remember, abolishabortiontx.com. AbolishAbortionTX.com and go there and sign the petition that you are in agreement with this HB 948.
Okay. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. We will never get to the point where we're not fighting a battle of some kind. Is that true? You're going to be fighting battles.
This is really not my testimony. This is do y'all know cute little Trina? Sits in the back. This is her testimony. So, but she's not here. That's the reason I'm giving it. Okay, she was in the store buzzing around as she, you can imagine she would do, and witnessing to people and whatnot. And she came upon this man, and they got to talking, and she pulled out a CD and gave him this CD. And he looked at the CD, and he says, "Why, that's Thurman Scrivener. I used to work for him. He healed a woman that fell on the stove."
It really true.
That's right. So that's just more confirmation that, you know. So
wow.
I thought you'd appreciate it.
Amen.
She knows his name. I don't recall.
Amen. Let me tell you how that happened. That story that he just talked about. You know, I mean, if you don't do something, you don't ever see Jesus do anything. You got to be about Jesus' work, right? So anyway, I was working out at the airport, and all of a sudden I was back in the receiving area just doing something. I don't know what I was doing back there. And all of a sudden I hear somebody start screaming at the top of their lungs. You can tell they're in agony and pain. So what do? You go toward, and you go in a hurry. So I went running down the hallway, run into the hot food section, and there stood a Spanish woman. A Spanish woman that had been taking sheet pans of food out of a great big oven. The oven's about 10 foot long. And as the ovens, the racks going around in there, she's reaching over in there with her gloves. She's got a short sleeve blouse on like this and gloves right here. And she's reaching over that door and she's reaching in here and getting these ovens, these sheet pans, and pulling them out like this and shoving them in a rack that she's going to take up to the cafeteria to feed a whole bunch of people. Well, as she reached up to get one of those sheet pans, and she turned around sideways, she stepped on something like a little bit of butter or something. And when she did, her feet goes out from under her, and when her feet goes out from under her, her arm right here, from right here on this arm, it just from right there to right there, it laid down on the door of that oven, which had been 350 degrees when it was closed. Naturally, it just blistered her arm all over the place. She was screaming at the top of her lungs. Now then, everybody was trying to do something, but nobody knew the right thing to do, because we always use the flesh. You know, we get the bottle of this or the bottle of that or the whatever. And this crazy guy, as he sees what's going on when he goes running down the hallway, when he gets there, he runs up to this woman, which is screaming, And her right arm is just big old blister just popping up all over her arm. And as I run up there, I grab hold of this arm. And when I quote a scripture, you know, and then I quote another scripture. And then I quote Mark 11:23. I said, you know, I don't know how long it'll take him to do these others, but Mark 11:23 says, whatever I say with my mouth, if I can believe it with my heart, I can have it.
That's right.
Is that what it says?
Amen.
So I said, ma'am, I hold it onto this arm. I guarantee you, my God, his name is Jesus Christ, will do a supernatural healing on your arm. I guarantee it.
Amen.
Now then, if I got to do something in faith, you better say I guarantee or it ain't going to work. Right, Paula?
That's right.
All of a sudden, when I said that, the pain just quit. She had no more pain. And everybody said, Edelina, let's take you to the hospital. She says, no. Said, the pain just quit. Now, everybody is standing around watching me do what I do, but nobody dreamed that what I did is what caused the problem to be solved. But you know, it all depends on where you're and who you're tuned into, who you're serving. And we need to make sure that in this day and age that we are serving the Lord Jesus Christ. And so anyway, this woman, the pain quit. And so she kept unloading the oven, putting the stuff in her sheet pan rack. One of the guys said, let's take you to the doctor. Look at your arm. She said, it don't hurt at all. The pain, the Lord took away the pain completely. She finished unloading the sheet pan. She pushes her rack off, going to the elevator to go upstairs. She goes in the elevator, and a little later, Randy, a young man, come by, and he says, Thurman, I'm going up the cafeteria to have lunch. You want to go have lunch with me? And I said, might as well. So I went up there, you know, I mean, I go up there, and Edelina's issuing out the groceries, and Randy looks over at her arm and says, Edelina, what did you do to your arm? Well, she said, I fell in that oven down there a while ago while I was unloading it. She said, well, my gosh, go to the doctor. She said, it doesn't hurt. There's absolutely no pain. But he said, look at all them blisters. She said, well, it doesn't hurt at all. I can't feel a thing. Everything's perfect. So anyway, she went ahead and served meal and everything. And I had dinner with Randy, and we never talked about it. So anyway, she goes home that night. When she goes home that night, her husband sees her arm and says, honey, what did you do? She said, I fell into the oven at work and it blistered my arm. I'm gonna take you to emergency. She said, no, it doesn't hurt at all. And said, if I feel okay in the morning, if I don't feel okay in the morning, you can take me to the doctor, but otherwise it feels okay. So she said, I don't need to go. So anyway, they went to bed, and the next morning she woke up and her husband said, honey, let's look at your arm. And so she flopped her right arm out there and he looked at it, and it looked just like mine and yours. No. So anyway, that next morning, when Edelina came, or next afternoon rather, when Edelina came back to work, the little girl, little cook that worked in the hot food section, Melanie was her name. She says, Edelina, how's your arm? Edelina held her arm up like this and said, look. Melanie said, she screamed all the way from hot foods. And she says, my God, another answer to Thurman's prayer. I became known as the man that got his prayers answered. Everywhere I went, it made no difference who I prayed for, whatever. That's the way to be known, Mike.
Amen.
Be known as the man or the woman can get your prayers answered. And let me tell you what, if you don't step out and do something that the world thinks is stupid, you ain't never going to see no miracles like that. Right, Jack? Yeah, you guarantee it. But so anyway, whenever she handed that CD out and that guy saw it, it was something, huh? He knew who that was. I just stand in awe to be your pastor and to have miracles that are confirmed every day. In fact, Mike was telling me here a while back, Lon Plummer used to work out there, and he still does, at the airport. And Mike and Gracie has come to church here and heard me tell a lot of stories about what happened at DFW airport. One day, Lon Plummer happened to come into his shop to get his car worked on, and they get to talking about where you're going to church. And he told him, Mike said, well, I go to church over to Living Savior Church. He said, who's the pastor? He said, Thurman Scrivener. He said, Thurman Scrivener, let me tell you about Thurman Scrivener. And did he tell you some of my stories, Mike?
Amen.
A bunch of them. Made him cry. Huh? You know why grown men cry? Because they realize when they hear something like this, that could have been me. That could have been me. I could have been the one praying for those people and seeing those miracles. God is no respecter of persons, is he, Jack?
That's right.
I think this church needs to be a church that's on fire for Jesus. I think we need to be telling people about Jesus. I think that we need to start going to the meetings and everything, that whenever our congressmen and our senators show up and they have these meetings, we need to be there instead of a little bitty tiny handful of 100 people that's all messed up. In fact, I heard Hal Lindsey say the other day that you can take, George Soros can take and push one button and he can have he can have people going crazy all over the place, having demonstrations, when he said it's literally 0.3% of the people in America believe like these people do. I mean, almost nobody in their right mind. And there is a handful of people that they're trying their best to buy out, and they're paying them to go to these meetings, and they're paying them out of your tax dollars and everything else, and we're not even hardly praying. We need to do something, and of course, after we pray, we need to pray in faith, nothing wavering, and then we need to say, okay, God, I did my part. That's all I can do is pray. I can pray, and now it's your job. You judge them righteously. You take care of them, whatever it takes. I'll do whatever. I'll go wherever. You know, Lord, when you sent me to Vietnam, I went to Vietnam with a gun in my hand, and I'm ready to kill anything that moves. Some people said, boy, hey, when you go to war, you go prepared to die. But you go prepared to live, too, right? Yeah, I guarantee you. It's amazing some of the things that you go through in life. And like I was telling a gentleman a while ago, I guess the reason I'm like I am about America is because I sowed my own soul into America. I went to war and I fought for this country so that you and me can be here today so we can have the testimonies like we have. Because if I hadn't have went to war and a lot of other young men hadn't have went to war and we hadn't have fought, we couldn't have been able to do that. We could have been speaking something else. But you know, every time I think about some of these people, I mean, I really think about the people today. They get hung up on one thing, me. What would you do? What would you do if you had to really go to war? How would you fight? Have you got a gun? Are you ready to fight? I hope you are. But I hope you know how to pray, the main thing. But I don't know what's going to happen in America, but anything could happen in America. You know, I mean, the guys and girls around here, we have problems. Somebody does something, or I say something I shouldn't, and one of the girls falls to tears, you know, and finally I've just got down to the point where I said, just get over it.
Amen.
Get over it. If all you can do is bubble in your tears, then go somewhere else, but get over it. You never had a fight in your life. You never had a gun. You never had a... Nobody put a gun right in your butt and your back and say, I'm going to kill you. You know, you never fought a battle in your life. You don't have any idea what it's be like. You just don't know how lucky you are. We have lived in America and we think we've got it made and we think everybody owes us a living. And that's what's wrong with this bunch of people that George Soros is doing what he's doing. They're doing everything they can. They have no idea. No idea of what's making this country work. All they want to do is, if anybody, and I don't mind telling you, I've told several people this, if you call yourself a Christian and you're a Democrat, one of you's lying. Yeah. I mean, you can't be a Democrat and be a Christian. I mean, it can't be. And somebody says, you know, boy, you're not very compassionate. Well, I'm just telling you the way it is.
Amen.
I know what it takes to be a Christian. And let me tell you, Christians get answers to prayer like that story you just told, Jack. You know what I mean?
Sure.
I was talking to another friend of mine a while ago. And he said, Thurman, we love coming to church here. And he said, I'm going to tell you why I love coming to church here. Because I met a man that's totally sold out to Jesus Christ. And that blessed my soul. That this man that goes to church here, so he loves to go to church here because he met a man that totally sold out to Jesus Christ. Are we sold out to Jesus Christ? This ain't just supposed to be the pastor. This is supposed to be everybody. If you go to this church, you need to be a believing believer. I mean, a believing believer. And you need to not be ashamed that you're a believing believer. You know, you need to let people know, I am a son or a daughter of God. I'm going to walk in obedience to God's word. I'll pray for anything. I don't care whether you're laying down, standing up, or whatever. I don't care where you are. I will pray for you. And then I'm believing God's going to do something. And then all I can say is, we got too many men, especially men. I'm going to really be on the men today. We got too many men that are a bunch of wimps. I have no respect for you if you call yourself a man and you've brought children into the world and you're not supporting that wife and those children. You're not taking good care of them. You're not bringing them to church. There's no option. You find yourself a good place to go to church, and then if you have to drag them to get them in the car, you bring them to church. And if you ain't doing that, you ain't the man God wants you to be.
Amen.
You're to be the spiritual head of your house. And if you ain't doing it, I would not want to be in your shoes one day when the king, he's going to judge you. You know, I don't care what anybody says, he's going to judge you. He may be a great and awesome God, but let me tell you what, I was reading in the book of Revelation the other day and it kind of scared me again. Every time I read the book of Revelation, it scares me again. He says, I give you time to repent of your evil. I mean, he names them, doesn't he, Miss Jackie? Your whoremongers, your lying, your thefts, your adultery. I give you time to repent, and you would not. So because you would not repent of your sin, I'm going to throw you into a sick bed, and I'm going to kill your children with death. That's what's written. Is that what's written?
Yes.
Well, let me tell you what. You better make sure that you've got your act straightened up. You better make sure if you got any sin in your life, you've repented. And it wouldn't be a bad deal to fall on your knees and say, God, I repent of everything I've ever done wrong. I don't want nothing wrong in my life, especially if I'm the daddy of this family. If I'm a father of this family, I want to make sure that I'm walking in obedience to your word, make sure I'm walking in love. make sure that I'm doing everything right, because I don't want to be judged by God. But He's going to judge every father, every man that's been out here with what's going on in the world today. He's going to judge people. And let me just ask you men a question. You men that have been coming here and heard me teaching things about, you know how God will discipline you if you get out of your love walk? Did I hear you say something next?
I'm laughing because I told you a story.
Now then, guys, you really don't think God would do something like that. Do you, Max?
I know He will.
Oh, you know He will. Why do you know He will? Because you heard me tell stories about me?
I heard you tell a story about you, or you tell a story about you, but I told you a story about me.
You mean He will do the same thing to you, Max, as He does to me?
He did.
In other words, when God says, don't get out of your love walk, He meant pray and then don't get out of your love walk, didn't He? Because I've been there and done that and got out of my love walk. And guess what? I know what Dave says when Dave gets a spanking. And he gets one every once in a while, just like I do. When he gets a spanking, if I go in and he says, pray for me, Pastor. I said, okay, what's going on? He said, well, I'm here to let you know that I'm being disciplined by God. So at least I know He still loves me. Because the scripture says God loves those, or He disciplines those He loves. So He said, I know I'm being judged. Now then, every one of us, unfortunately, have been through that. I've been through it, you've been through it. But it's time we change. Lord, help me to walk holy and obedient to Your word. Help me to pray the prayer of faith. You really have no idea, and I don't even have any idea how many people that I prayed for while I was at SkyShift and Marriott and Cater Air, and how many people all over this world that I prayed for and that I met, that I stood on God's word, not ashamed of nothing. I was laughed at, made fun of, everything. Did I care?
No.
Not at all. I work for the King.
Amen.
I work for the King.
Amen.
I know who He is. And He knows who I am. And because I am not ashamed of Him, because I will pray for anybody at any time for anything, He shows up and answers those prayers, doesn't He? But He needs to be answering yours too, Franz.
He has,
praise God. I don't know what we're going to do. We've reached a point in history that the scripture said we're calling that which is evil good. We're all messed up. You know, the other day, a lady came up, and she was having all kinds of trouble with one or two of her children. And she says, you know, there's not anything I can do. I looked at her, and I told her, I said, I thought you told me you were a Christian. He said, well, I am. I said, don't never let me hear you say there ain't nothing I can do as a Christian. As a Christian with all power and all authority, what can you do?
All things.
You don't believe that. That's the problem with you and me. We don't believe, behold, I give unto you power to trample on the devil and his demons. All power is given to you over them, and they shall in no wise hurt you. We don't believe that, do we, Max?
Oh, I do.
Oh, you do? Praise God. But there was a day when you didn't.
That is true.
And there was a day when I didn't. But let me tell you what, we're going to have to remember who we are. We're going to have to remember that whenever somebody does what is going on in America today, and they're doing everything they can to destroy America, you're going to have to remember how to pray. I remember when I didn't know these kind of things, when I went to a meeting in Dallas, actually it was in Irving, and there was a little short preacher about this tall preaching down there in that church that day, and he was preaching about our spiritual authority. Okay, now I didn't know anything about my spiritual authority, so I went to that meeting, and it's a big church. It was four or five times as big as this one, at least four or five times as big. But he was up there teaching about our spiritual authority, and I'm sitting way back in the back. I'm kind of like you was, Kim. I was sitting in the back so if something was crazy, I could get out of this place. So anyway, I was back there in the back, and this guy was preaching on our spiritual authority, and all of a sudden, from where I was to over here on a couple of rows over, a guy jumps up and starts running down the hallway aisle with that church screaming, "I'm going to kill you." Now, I'd never seen anything like that in a Baptist church. Never seen anything like that, so I have no idea. And I'm just about ready to punch out, you know. I mean, I'm petrified. And so anyway, I'm sitting back there watching this guy, and he's running, and he runs faster and faster. And this guy's a whole lot bigger than the little preacher up there on the platform. And this little preacher, he's just standing there watching this guy run. And I'm sitting back there thinking, "You idiot, run." Run. No, this guy knew who he was. I didn't know who I was. He knew who he was. But anyway, as he was running down the hall, he got probably as close as here to the camera back there. And all of a sudden, this little guy just stepped off of the platform and stepped down a couple of licks and throwed his hand up like this, said, "In the name of Jesus Christ, angels, put him on the floor." And that guy, right before my very eyes, I watched this guy go down on his face. I watched his face hit the floor on the carpet and rub on the floor. And I watched his hands go up behind him like this. And he's laying flat on his stomach on his face on the floor with both hands straight up like somebody's holding him down. Yeah, but see, I couldn't see into that. That's before I could see into that. So I had no idea what's going on, but they have my attention, I will have to say. I've been a good Southern Baptist all of my life, Max, and I ain't never seen nothing like this, never. So anyway, as I sit back and watch that, and watch this guy, and he puts him on the floor, this guy walks up to him, puts his foot on his back, kind of stands on him. And this guy is just laying there like something's mashing him into the carpet. And his arms, I thought, what is holding that guy down? I didn't have any idea the power that we have. I didn't know those scriptures. So anyway, as I sat there and watched that for a minute, and the guy says, "Now then," he kind of steps off of him and steps over to the side a little bit. He says, "Now what were you going to do to me?" And he couldn't talk. The guy couldn't say a word. He went out and kind of in front of him and come back, look, kind of flipped him on the lip and said, "What did you say you was going to do?" He kicked the devil out of him. I'd never heard anybody do that before. He kicked the devil out of him. As he stood there for a few minutes, and after he kicked the devil out, he says, "Now then, Lord, I ask you to convict this man of sin, bring him into the kingdom of God, and gloriously save him." I thought, now who in the world would want to do a deal like that? I said, if I had a gun, I'd kill him. See, I don't know who I am. I'm still learning how to fight with the flesh, with a gun. But the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God. And so, but I didn't understand all that. But anyway, whenever he let this guy up, he said, angels, release him. And as soon as he said, angels, release him, it's just like both arms that was held up behind his flopped down on the floor. And the guy sat up. He looked at him right in the eye and said, wouldn't you love to make Jesus Christ Lord of your life? He said, yes, sir. I thought, man, that's not what I expected to hear this guy say. But he led this boy to Jesus. And then he said, now, come on, son, get up and stand up. Now, then after he got up and he walked around with him, put his arm around him and everything, he led him to Christ, the whole nine yards. And he says, how do you feel, son? He said, I feel great. He said, you're a new born again Christian. He said, do you know what just happened? And I thought, boy, please tell me, because I want to know. I have no idea what I'm doing. You know, I mean, I'm at a meeting where they're teaching on spiritual authority, and I've been raised up in a Southern Baptist church, and I ain't never heard I can cast out demons. I ain't never heard none of that. You know, you can go to a Baptist church all your life and never know that. And I certainly didn't know that. But anyway, we watched as that young man got up from there, and after he accepted Jesus, and then he was okay, and I just stood there and I thought, wow. So he said, well, let me tell you what happened. So he began to tell him. He said, you know, I'm teaching on spiritual authority, and you're back there in the back, and an evil spirit is going to make you think you're in control here instead of me. And so that's whenever they took over you and started running down here, and you started screaming, you're going to kill me. He said, but I have all power over them. All dominion and all authority and all power. Is that written in the scripture?
Amen.
So now then, here's this young lady that's having a problem with her children. And she says there's not anything she can do after I've seen this years ago. Now then, I'm here to tell you, don't tell me. Don't tell me there's not anything you can do. If the devil has to be subject to you, what can you do to him, Jack?
Bind him and cast him out.
Yeah, bind him, loose him, cast him out. You can do anything you want to do with him in the name of Jesus, because those same angels that was there with that young man is there with you.
Right.
Same ones. Those same angels are there. So, you know, what we do, though, I guarantee you, I experience this all the time. Over and over and over, somebody say something about somebody, and they say, well, what can I do about that? I can't do anything about that. You know, I mean, they're mean. They can't do anything. I can't stop them from doing that. Yes, you can. That's exactly right. You know, some of you have heard me tell the story lately about that English guy was down in Houston that was going back to Mexico when that guy shot him 5 times in the stomach and didn't hit him. I heard that guy, have any of y'all ever heard this guy? I can't think of his name now, but he was on Daystar the other day.
Todd.
What's his name?
Todd White.
Yeah. I said, no, that's not him. No, that's not him. Todd White's the guy that's got all the long, the funny looking hair, right? No, this is not him. This was a missionary. This was a missionary. It was not Todd White, but this was a missionary to Mexico. And I'm telling you, that guy, he knew who he was in Christ. In fact, what really got me was whenever that guy.
Was it David Hogan?
No. No. No, not David Hogan. I'm trying to think what. Anyway, I can't think what the guy's name was. But anyway, maybe it'll come to me in a minute. But anyway, that guy, whenever he was that Spanish guy that got out of prison, shot him five times in the stomach and couldn't hit him at point blank range. Huh? No.
Terry Mize. Well,
Terry Mize.
Terry with a T.
T. Terry Mize. Okay, that was him. Okay, that's him. Okay, but anyway, what really got me about him was after. Do you talk about how our faith comes and goes? I mean, here he was, had been shot at five times and couldn't hit him at point blank range, and sitting there in the seat with him. Whenever this guy makes Perry get it.
Terry with a T.
Yeah. Terry, okay. He makes him get out of the car and walks out into the pasture. He walks out into the pasture and he tells the guy to take off all of his clothes. And so he does. He takes off all of his clothes, and the guy gets all of the clothes and everything, and he starts back toward the car, and he gets nearly to the car, and this missionary happens to think, what am I doing out here naked? I have authority over this guy. Now, he just told him he can't shoot him, and he shot at him five times and couldn't hit him. So you'd think that he would remember who I am, wouldn't you think so, Max? You would think, but that just goes to show how our whatever comes and goes, right? So anyway, he said, I'm standing there. And I heard him say that he was telling whoever it was, I think it was Jonathan and Susie or whatever he was on the set with the other night at whatever, on the green room or something. And they were talking about this. And he's talking about how that here, all of a sudden he realized, I'm standing here totally naked. This guy's got my money, my billfold, my everything, and he's headed back to my car. He says, whenever I finally come to my senses and I start screaming at him, hey, I'm a Christian. I have dominion and authority over you. You bring my clothes back to me right this second in Jesus' name. And the guy turned around and brought his clothes back to him. And he put the clothes on him, and then he said they walked back to the car together, and they got in the car. And they rode down the road a little ways, and then finally this guy was having so much trouble with this convict. He finally told him, he said, you know, I'm going home and have dinner with my wife. If you want to go with me, you can go. If you don't, just get out and go somewhere else. So the guy said, I have never run, this thug, he said, I have never run into anybody I can't control except you. And so he says, pull a car off to the stop side of the road, and he stops and he gets out and he walks off, and the missionary cranks his car back up and goes on home and has dinner with his wife and his kids. But that story, did you see that? Did you see that too?
Yeah.
Okay, so anyway, if some of us saw that movie or that video or that testimony or whatever, and anybody ever tells you there's nothing you can do about somebody else or you can't change something, don't never go home crying in your milk thinking I can't do anything, because how much power and authority do we have over the evil one? But we forget. We forget who we are. And we get back in the flesh. And then, of course, the devil, he loves it when we get in the flesh. He loves to give me and you a spanking. And he's right there. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So he's going to do that very thing, and he's going to do a good job because God made him. So, you know, but you're going to have to remember who you are in Christ. Wow. The scripture. That's one of the scriptures we were going to talk about today is in Colossians. In Colossians chapter 1.
Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Coloth, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you.
Now, you know, when we stop and think about that right there for a second, he says that we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, always giving thanks for you, praying for you. You know, I think that's probably where we miss it the most, is because I don't know about you, But I know there's times that I pray for a lot of people, and then I know there's times I get stuck doing something else, and I may go all day and not pray for nobody. Do you do that? We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. If I pray and you pray, and we all pray and ask God to do something great for, in fact, let me tell you the way I want to pray. How many of you have ever heard of this guy, George Satoros? Now, you have any idea who he is, what he does, how wicked he is? Yeah, George Soros. Now, for your information, he is a very, very wicked individual. Do y'all understand that? He has nothing good. He's filthy rich, and he has nothing good for this country except destruction. So here's the way I want to pray for him. Lord, just kill him. Take him home. I mean, I'm going to be serious with you. That's what I want to happen to him. I want God to kill him and take him home. Bury him. Put him, bury him in a shallow grave, you know. But now, how should we pray?
Lord,
try it. Amen. Now, see, it all depends on what I pray for him, what mode I'm in.
That's our flesh.
Do y'all have the same problem I do?
Yes.
Okay. I mean, you know, when Franz called me and he was having a problem and needed to be healed or something, I could pray a good, wonderful, powerful prayer of faith for Franz. But now, if you were called, said, this is George.
It's not right.
If I'm supposed to be praying for everybody, I need to be praying that George will get saved, right?
Yes, sir.
Because here's what Jesus would tell me. Now, I don't want to hear this, but I made George also, and I love George just as much as I love you. Now, that's not the way I want to. Lord, can't we do this some other way? Lord, he's so mean and so wicked. He's hurt so many people, and so many people have died. Can't we just do this? Jack, can't me and you go get our submachine guns and just go to... That's what we'd like to do, right? But as long as he's controlled by the devil, he's never going to be what you want him to be. He's never going to be what God wants him to be. And the only way God can change him is if you pray right. Now, if you pray the prayer of faith for that guy, Lord, I ask you to move on George's heart. I rebuke the spirits of hell that are blinding his mind to the truth of the Word of God. And Lord, I ask you to touch his heart and bring him into the kingdom of God and gloriously save him and fill him with the Holy Ghost. Now, that's the way God wants us to pray, right?
It's done.
There you go. Now we can pray and something can happen, and then the next time you hear, wow, we don't know what happened to this guy George, but he got something really happened. The news media don't want to tell you what happened because they never seen anything like this. But I'm telling you, that's how we got to learn to pray. And if we pray like that, we can get great things done. But it's so much easier to want to say, okay, God, Lord, let's do it this way. I'm going to pray. You just kill him, Lord. I'm telling you, this is the way we are. That's the way I am. You may not be like me. But, you know, in fact, I don't know. When I was in Vietnam, I don't think I ever prayed a prayer for any Duke to get saved. I don't think. I wanted them all to die. You know. Is that something or is that something? You know, there's some of those men over there that were really, really, some of those guys were really strong in the Lord and everything. I wasn't quite that stout. You know, I wanted to come back home. I would love to be able to hear my dad's praying for me to see what he was praying. I don't know what he was praying, but whatever he did, it worked. I was able to get back home. But anyway, we give thanks Praise the Lord. We give thanks to God and the Father for our Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. Praying always for you. Praise the Lord. Go on to the next verse.
Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints.
You know, I really think that if we did meet that criteria and we had faith like that and we all prayed like that, and before we leave here today, I want us to pray the right way for all these people, you know, like not the way I would pray for George, but the way we should pray for George. You know, we want everybody to be saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, do we not? Because we realize that when we pray right, God can move on somebody's heart. He can change their heart, and He can make them great men and women and use them mightily for His glory. And I don't mind telling you, I just tell you right here up front, I knew these things when Barack Obama was in office. I knew these things, and I prayed for him many a time like that. But boy, you don't know how many times I wanted to pray, God, just kill this guy. You know, because he was always doing something wicked for this country. And so, you know, so like I say, God told me one day to just quit talking about him, because he said he works for me, although he doesn't know me. He's doing exactly what I tell him to do. And I thought, wow, that was something. So since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have for all the saints. Now, if you hear people praying like we should be praying, the prayers that we pray should dictate that. People should know that we're sons and daughters of the Most High God because of the way we pray one for another. Right? In other words, let's just right now, let me show you the way we're supposed to do this. One of the couples that goes to church here called in and contacted us before church and said, will you please pray for us? They're both down, not feeling well. So, in fact, it's Betty and Bill Wagner. Both of them are not feeling well today. And okay, and also for Pastor Jeff. Okay, well then, Father, in the name of Jesus, now, Lord, we come to you and we repent of our sins. We remit our sins and we remit their sins, and we want you to know how much we love them, Lord. Now we ask you to be merciful to them, and after we remit their sins and their shortcomings, we ask you to be merciful to them, to restore them, to heal them, to raise them up, and give them knowledge, wisdom, revelation, and understanding of your mighty word, and use Betty and Bill in a mighty way to bring glory and honor to your name. And we thank you for their complete restoration, their complete healing. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord, for their healing. Now, is that the way a Christian should pray for another Christian? Yes, that's what we should pray. So you notice there was never anything in there where, Lord, just go ahead and kill him. We didn't pray like that, did we? And we don't want to pray like that. It's very tempting when you're praying, you know, for somebody else, it's very tempting that you want to ask the Lord to do something serious, so take them out. But we know that's not God's way. So, Lord, we need you to soften those king's hearts, Obama's heart, Donald Trump's heart. Everybody, Lord, we ask you to soften all of them's heart and make them more like Jesus so we can live in peace in America. Wow, thank you, Lord. Okay, next verse.
For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit as it doeth also in you since the day ye heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. As ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him.
Wow.
And he is before all things, and by him all things consist.
Okay, right there. Let's stop there for a second. Go back one more verse, back to 6. Yeah, for by him were all things made. Everything. So there's not anything exists that he didn't make. So now then, if he made everything, if he made George, does he love George? Yeah. Did he make you?
Yes.
Does he love you?
Yes.
Yes. Let me ask you this question. If he made all of us, why do we have such a hard time getting along together? You know, I mean, I wonder if people like George, I don't know anything about his past. I wonder how in the world he ever got to a point where he could be one of the world's richest men and still be where he walks, you know, totally against God. Doesn't it make you wonder?
I actually know how he got his money. He's a Jew.
Do what, Nate?
He got his money in World War II by betraying Jews and killing himself.
Is that how he got his money?
Yeah.
Wow. Amazing what money does to people, isn't it? Wow. All things were made by him that are in heaven and in earth, both invisible and visible, whether they be the thrones or dominions or powers. Everything was created, was made by him and for him and for his glory. I stop and think about all these things that God made and how he does so many things with so many people and puts us all on this earth together and gives us all something to do. And it is amazing how that God can make all things, everything. Wow. Go to the next verse.
And he is before all things, and by him all things consist.
In other words, isn't it amazing that God can make everything? He can make you feel good right now, or he can make you feel lousy right now. He can make you be alive and well right now, or he can make you be dead in the next second. You know, he can do anything he wants to do, anything. But he gives us this power and dominion and authority for all things. Wow, everything consists. Verse 8.
And he is the head of the body, the church. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Praise God.
Amen, amen, amen. That's
like
for
that
sure.
One.
Yeah, that's. I like that one too. He can make me clean and pure and holy in his presence.
Amen.
Wow, that is something. By the blood of his flesh, the body of his flesh,
through death.
I'm washed in the blood. Are you washed in the blood?
Yes, I am washed.
If there's anybody in here today that's not washed in the blood, that does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they need to accept Jesus before this day is over. You agree?
Amen.
If there's anything on this earth, you need to make sure that you know today you're a believing believer.
Yes.
If you're a believing believer, then you're going to go to heaven when you die. If you're not a believing believer, you're an unbelieving believer, and when you die, you get to go to a place called a lake of fire. And I don't think I'm going to sign up for that.
No.
I don't want to go there. Praise the Lord. Wow. Wow. Next verse.
If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. Whereof I am made a minister, according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Praise
yeah,
God!
Stop and think about that a second. That's a little more than you can stomach to stop and think of this mystery that was hidden before the foundations of the world now is made known to those that are believers, that Christ in us, the hope of glory. Not only can you forgive sin, not only can you take the word of God and remit people's sins, you can remit your own sins. You have been given this great and awesome power and authority that sure jumped off the page there a while ago, when Christ in you, the hope of glory. You can't beat that, can you? In other words, if we know that we have Christ in us, the hope of glory, and we have the power to remit sins, anytime we have anybody in our house, anywhere, anything wrong with them, we should be remitting their sins and praying the prayer of faith for them, laying hands on them or something. We should not do nothing. Because if we do nothing, what can God do? He can do nothing. But if we can pray and touch people in his name, what can he do?
Everything.
That's exactly right. So that we need to. And I think about how many people go through life and never pray. Never pray for nothing. Well, I'm going to try my best to not do that anymore. I'm going to make sure that I'm praying for somebody on a regular basis. I need to be praying for you, and you need to be praying for me.
Amen.
So that, wow. It's amazing how God put all these different people to the right place at the right time, and how that he takes men like this man and George and makes him a one of the richest men on earth. And then he takes all that money and uses it to... In fact, Hal Lindsey said the other night that George can push a button and he can create a havoc in 30 cities, make it look like you're having a terrible uprising all over the United States, when really it's just a tiny, tiny number of people that's protesting. But he knows how to do that. And the thing about it is, we back off and look at this and think, well, there's nothing that I can do. But there is something you can do. You can pray. And you can ask God to move on that man's heart. You know, you can ask the Lord to begin to convict him of sin and draw him into the kingdom of God. Gloriously save him, fill him with the Holy Ghost. You have that kind of power. If I thought for a second that I really had that kind of power in me and I never prayed at all, I would be stupid. I mean, I prayed for many a person that had all kinds of demons and seeing God break the power of those. I mean, I've led people into the body of Christ. I've prayed for the sick. Just like that story Jack told a while ago, that was no small time miracle. That woman's arm was completely healed overnight. You know, and that there's people at Sky Shift that went through that place down there like a ball of fire. People had heard that story, know that story. People that worked at Sky Chef have seen. I mean, Edelina has told that story to who knows how many people. And there ain't no telling. There ain't no telling how many people that we've prayed for down there at Sky Chef and seen God do great and awesome things. I'm telling you, you can do it. You can do something. Just pray. Wow. Christ in you, the hope of glory. If you got Jesus Christ living inside of you, with you and him together on this earth, what can the two of you do on this earth? You got to realize there is no limitations. None whatsoever. Whatever you believe you can do, that's what he can do through you. If you don't believe you can do something, then you've limited yourself. So don't let the enemy deceive you. Believe that Christ in you, the hope of glory, you can do all things through Christ which strengthens you. There ain't nothing impossible, nothing whatsoever. So this week, I challenge each one of us this week to get out there and do something. Do something this week that's going to bring glory and honor to the Lord. I mean something. Do something. I mean pray. Take authority over the spirits. But do something. Don't sit around home and do nothing. Do something. Because remember, who is the one that lives inside of you? The greater one, yes. The greater one lives inside of you, and he's the King of kings and Lord of lords, and there ain't nothing you and him to do together can't do. Nothing. Just don't ever forget that. So anyway, praise the Lord. Wow. Lord, we ask you to fill us all with the Holy Spirit. We remit our sins. I remit my sins. I remit Cheryl's sins. I remit everybody's sin in this place, and I would ask they would remit my sins. They would forgive our sins. We would forgive each other's sins. And then, Lord, we ask you to do something great this week. Use us for your glory. I mean, put us out there in the world where we need to be praying for people, kicking out devils, healing the sick, doing miracles for you, Lord. And, Lord, I thank you for healing everybody. I thank you for touching their lives. I thank you for healing their bodies. I thank you for being the King of kings and the Lord of lords and using us for your glory. Now, Lord, give us knowledge, wisdom, revelation, and understanding this week to be able to do something good for the kingdom of God. We want to be about your business. We want people to know where we go that we're Christians. We don't want them to have to ask, are you a Christian? We want them to know by what we say and do. We want them to know that we are sons and daughters of God. And Lord, use us mightily this week for your glory. And we give you all the praise and glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen, and amen.